On today's program, we have Donald Baer. He is the director of the E.L. Cord Foundation Center for Learning and Literacy at the University of Nevada at Reno. He is a former preschool and elementary teacher, best known to the Teachers Life Nation as one of the main contributors and authors of Words Their Way, Word Study for Phonics, Vocabulary, and Spelling Instruction, a book available at pretty much most bookstores. Dr. Baer, welcome to the Teachers Life podcast, and thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
My pleasure, Bobby. Thank you for taking the time.
One of the main reasons I wanted to have you on the show was because I personally have used the ideas in Words Their Way in my own classroom, and I have seen firsthand how wonderful it is for the students in my class. So the first question to you that I would like to ask is to the listeners that may not be familiar with Words Their Way, could you describe to us what it is?
Yes. Words Their Way is an approach to word study. And it's not a program, it's more of an approach. And that's a fine difference, perhaps. But it's a way of thinking about vocabulary, spelling, and phonics. And what we're trying to do is to show in a developmental model, using a developmental model of how we think the children, people develop in their word knowledge. We're trying to show people that developmental scale and then how to match instruction in phonics, spelling, and vocabulary to where the students are at in their development. And that's what we're trying to do. So we have a theoretical part, and then we have a developmental chapter, rather a chapter for each stage of development. And then there are a ton of activities that our students and ourselves have made up. And my co-authors are Shane Templeton, Marcia Imbrunese, and Francine Johnston. And then we do a bunch of work in English with English language learners, and so we have a book called Words Their Way with English Language Learners or English Learners. And Laurie Hellman at University of Minnesota is, I think, is the primary author on that book.
Too often, teachers, including myself, have simply just given spelling words to students at the beginning of the week on Monday, say, and expected them to just practice at home, and with minimal work in the classroom throughout the week, and then come Friday, test their quote knowledge of the words. In your opinion, why is word study, as presented in this book, important to include in classroom activities on a daily basis?
Good question, and I liked what you were saying about the spelling. I'll start there, I think. I think that one of our goals is for people to see that spelling is not just learning how to spell the words, but that spelling is a way to teach phonics and vocabulary. We're trying to integrate the three. And just a note of history, in the colonial days, the speller was the reader. And so spelling has taken on a funny connotation these days. It's to only to improve spelling, but yet if you look back and if you look at Words Their Way, we're trying to use spelling to teach reading. And so the words that you assign to students on a weekly basis need to be words that they can look into and play with and think about and attack and study deeply and make generalizations about. So you're not just teaching those words. You can't teach all the words the kids need to know, that you're teaching them how to look at words. And so the spelling activities that teachers are doing, some of them are wonderful, and they allow children to look into words. But what that means is what we're trying to do is do it actively. So you can take any spelling list and turn it into a word sort. And so you take the spelling list and divide it up and write it onto the little chips that the kids then sort by, let's say, short or long, or it depends on what the spelling list is getting at. The point is that we want to adjust it developmentally so that not everybody is getting the same list in a third grade classroom. Not everybody is at the same developmental level. And so if I'm in a second grade classroom and I'm still working on long vowels and you're trying to teach me consonant doubling of two syllable words, hope, jumping and hopping. That child is not shouldn't be placed there.
I think, sorry to cut you off, but I think one of the most important things that I've learned using Words Away is my school district clusters the, quote, gifted kids into one room. And so last year I had four kids that tested as gifted. And so my students were all over the board in ability when it comes to spelling and phonics and reading and writing. And it was just so nice to be able to differentiate throughout those kids, because it seemed like the year before, prior to that, before I really started trying this, it was like I was giving the same words to the same to all the kids, and it just didn't seem natural. It didn't seem like that was something I should be doing. So I just found that to be just wonderful.
That's right. That's right. And taking that developmental approach, you're going to make students happier too, and they'll learn more. If they're taught at their instructional level, they'll learn a ton more.
Yeah, one of the interesting things in the book, it just right there, I believe it's in the very first chapter, is when you and your co-authors go into the different stages of spelling development. And I was hoping that you could discuss these different stages of spelling development and why it's important to pay attention to these as a teacher.
Well, thank you. Yes, that's what our work is really about, is development. And so we, all of us, we love working together, the four of us, five of us, just because we've studied the same material. And we stand on Ed Henderson's shoulders. And Ed was our professor at University of Virginia. And with his help, we developed, we looked at these five stages of development. So one thing that I'd like you to think about is the relationship between the stages of spelling and the stages of reading. So what I do is I'm more of a reading person, so I'm more interested in using the spelling to tell me what it tells me, see what it tells me about their reading. And so I use the spelling to think about my differentiated reading groups. So when I'm working in a small group with kids, I've got a small group, they may be, let's say, letter name spellers still working on the short vowel patterns. But they are also at a particular level of reading. The next stage of spelling, the first stage is the emergent, and that's for, you know, kindergarten, let's say, and pre-K. And by first grade, we're hoping that kids are out of the emergent. By kindergarten, we hope they're out of the emergent, but we still will have some emergent kids in first grade. And then we move into the letter name alphabetic, and that corresponds to beginning reading. And one thing that we're doing is showing those relationships. So the next stage is the within word pattern stage. And that's when the kids, our students, are looking at vowel patterns, internal vowel patterns. And they're reading at a transitional reading level. That means it's sort of like starting at level J if you're playing the level game. And that stage goes all the way from Nate the Great to the Treehouse Mysteries. And so that's a long way to go. And my student here in the center, Regina, calls it black hole of reading. We have in the center here, we have seventh graders and you have them in the schools who are still trying to figure out how to spell long vowels. And so we're interested in that stage because kids can get stuck in it. Then the last two stages we call upper level, and they correspond to similar stages in reading. The upper level is where they're looking at two-syllable words and how syllables combine. And then this final stage, Shane Templeton is our resident master in that area, is the derivational relations. And that has a lot to do with vocabulary development. And we have a book coming out just very soon on just focusing on vocabulary development at these upper levels. So the five stages correspond to the five stages of reading. And that's what I do a lot of research in, is if you spell in a particular way, what's your reading like? And what are the implications for book sets in my classroom?
Now, I'm a second grade teacher, and I read this book several times, and every time I read it, I learned something new. And I think any teacher at any level will be able to agree that there are kids at every level of reading and phonics and spelling and writing and in your one classroom. And so when I was reading this book, I got all this great information, background information that I could use, but then I was like, okay, well, how do I implement this in the classroom? And one thing, being a new teacher, I was just struggling with how do I even find out where they are? Because I don't have the knowledge, I felt, to identify them right off the bat. And one thing I really liked about the book, it's the fourth edition, is that it comes with a little CD in the back,
Right.
which I really like. And so, what are some resources on that CD and maybe on websites or whatever that you guys have that are available to the readers of your book to help with actually implementing this approach in a classroom?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's been our bugaboo for so many years because we'd all sit around with our colleagues and cut up sorts all day long or make word study games. And so there are a variety of materials. If you a website, if you type in Words Their Way and Allen and Bacon, there are. We started making these little supplements, and there are a ton of them now. There are probably eight of them now, and there's one for each of the five stages, and that's very easy. That is, you Xerox that page if it's the right one, sort, and then you Xerox it to the kids, and you're ready to go. There are already templates made up. And it covers a whole year for each of these supplements, for each of the stages. And then we have one for each of the stages. Laurie Hellman's the key author on this. For each of the stages, we have one for English, for Spanish speakers. So that's one big resource. The CD has the, as you were saying, the assessment, but you can also make your own sorts. There's a drag and drop on there. In addition, there are a ton of other assessments that we've used over the years. If you're a secondary teacher, there are some assessments there as well. And there are a whole bunch of, there's a whole beginning of a Spanish word studies program on there so that if you have kids who are speaking Spanish, they can you can help integrate the two. There are the drag and drop, and there's a ton of games on there. There's also a program called Word Study in Action, and I sort of call that the Cadillac of the programs, and that's also by Pearson Supplemental, and it's a whole program where every child gets a word study notebook, and you can take out the page, the child rips out the page and sorts, and there's a some wonderful CD where there's a game for each sort, and so we're coming out with more and more materials. We have a book on staff development that we're doing, and you're right. It is our job to try to show it. The DVD, the fourth edition comes with a DVD, and it has segments of the classroom in there as well. And also, we did a VHS tape years ago that I think is still quite good on showing. Matter of fact, I show the video of that stage to the students, and I say, "Hey, look at this. Can we do this? Can we do a sort like this?" And they look at the sort, and then we try to do it ourselves. So I'm using any video to show kids how to sort. So those are some of the materials that we're up to. I guess that I don't. I'm a little awkward on the material stuff. But only to say that you can wreck a Cadillac. Not so much the program; it's the teacher's knowledge and. So that's why I'm interested in trying to explain if a child spells beet, BEET, or that's a good one, or BETE, then that tells you about their reading, and that tells me what kind of word study to do with them as well.
And then as a newer teacher, I couldn't stress how much how wonderful it was to have that CD in the back. The assessment part, you didn't get too much into that, but there's a program where you give a kid or a whole class an assessment, which is pretty much a spelling inventory, and then you can take those home and plug it into a program, and it can give you a real basic overview of your class and what maybe you can start diving into. And it's such a great visual, and I just love that you guys came out with something like that. And I just really appreciate it because it allowed me to kind of just get a grasp on what is going on in my class before I actually tried to implement some ideas. So
Exactly. And We keep on working on that assessment chapter. We have I just developed an academic spelling inventory with my colleagues here, and it's looking pretty good. We're going to put that in our new book. And so, yeah, the spelling inventories, you see, if you can spell it, most pretty near always, I know you can read it.
Mm-hmm.
So the spelling really does tell me about the children's reading and what kind of phonics and vocabulary I want to think about with them. And also, we're trying to help upper elementary, intermediate, and secondary teachers, middle school, to think about, you know, just if you go give the kids 20 vocabulary words, what does that mean with in terms of differentiated instruction? Second grade, we're getting used to thinking about it. And that's why I want my word study as part of my reading time as well.
Okay, so there are for sure listeners that are strictly required to use a BASIL in their programs, or in their classrooms, excuse me. And how can Words Their Way be used with these BASIL programs? And have you done any work with the companies that actually produce these BASILs?
Since Words Their Way is just an approach, sure, it's adaptable to the core programs. The core programs are working really hard to try to find ways of differentiating. And so you have approaching, on-level, and above-level sort of groupings, and the BASIL companies have done very well with sort of differentiating, but now comes our job is how to use that in a differentiated way. And so I take the spelling inventory that you were talking about, and that helps me think about my three groups, or three groups and a half, for differentiated instruction. And then I start to differentiate the materials that they're using. Now, in terms of the actual materials that we've made, like the sorts on the CD, if the scope and sequence that the BASILs are using are very similar, as a matter of fact, the core program teams look at Words Their Way, and we look at the same research in terms of the sequence of instruction. So they aren't that far off, but if a BASIL program is working on short E, then look into Words Their Way if you need supplemental sorts. I work with the Treasures program with Macmillan McGraw-Hill, and what we've done is we have integrated the spelling, and so there's us into the phonics and vocabulary and the reading, and so that we do encourage the word study to be a part of their reading, and that they have a sort that combines the spelling with some of the phonics that they're doing, let's say, in the lower grades, primary grades. And so, yeah, I mean, the core programs have everything there. It's a matter of how we interpret fidelity. And for me, fidelity entails making sure that if that kid needs to work on short vowels, and I know that developmentally short vowels come before long vowels, I'm not going too far ahead. I need that child to be at his instructional level, because I know if I'm teaching long vowels, it's like gristle. It's just you can chew on it all day, but it's not going to be nutritious.
I just really love how you keep referring to Words Their Way as, not as a program, but as an approach. I can relate that to maybe like a CGI sort of approach to math, where it's not a real program. It's just sort of an approach a teacher can take. And I just love that you keep referring to Words Their Way as an approach as opposed to a program. So, Donald, there's a segment on the show called The Story of the Day, and this is a part of the show where a story is told concerning life in a classroom. And the stories told often are about a significant memory of being a student in school, or as a teacher in school, or just education in general. And we would love for you to share your story of the day.
Thanks a lot. I thought about it some, because there's so many. I learn best when I'm encouraged. I'm one of these learners that just needs to be encouraged, and I take off. But my favorite teachers these days are Ed Henderson, who was my doctoral professor at University of Virginia. He directed the McGuffey Reading Center, where Marcia Invernese is the director and our second author. He used to say, you can take all those fancy psychology courses, psycholinguistics courses. And he learned this from his teacher, Russ Stauffer, at the University of Delaware. Now, that goes back quite a way, but that is sort of our history, because it goes Russ Stauffer, Ed Henderson, and then you have someone like Donna Ogle or Shane Templeton and myself, or Zutel or Temple, or a whole bunch of people who studied with Ed Henderson. And so if you follow that history, you get lines like this. So Stauffer told Henderson, you can take all those fancy courses, but when you really want to learn, come to the Reading Center and you'll learn. And that's how I feel, too, is that I feel very lucky to have a Reading Center where I can learn with children who come here and in our outreach programs. So one thing Ed said was, you want the idea to feed the pen and not the pen to interfere with the idea. That was a way of encouraging students, children, to write, and for teachers to be mindful of, just give it some space, let them get their first ideas down. But I love the way he said that. You want the idea to feed the pen and not the pen to interfere with the idea. Hmm. Pretty cool, huh?
Yep, that's fantastic. You were blessed to be under such wonderful people.
Yeah, I was lucky.
So I respect your time, so we could sit here and talk all day about this. Maybe we could have you on at another point to go a little deeper, but we do have one last question for you before we let you go, and it is, if you had to respond with just a word or maybe a phrase that would sum up for the listeners of the show what the word teacher means to you, what would you say?
Well, since I'm a word study nut, you know I had to do a little work on it. So I would just say deek, D-E-I-K, because that's the Indo-European root for teaching. And the derivatives of deek also include toe, addict, preach, judge, and revenge. So that's quite a wide range. But for me, teaching, it also means becoming, D-E-I-K. And that's what teaching means to me, if I had to say, I guess, becoming, seeing my students become, and hopefully seeing me become.
Well, Donald, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to be on our show, and best of luck with everything that you're doing.
Happy Word Study, Bobby, and thanks for what you're doing on this website.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
You too. Donald Bear spoke to us from his office at the University of Nevada at Reno. The website he referenced for you to check out is www.unr.edu/CLL. You can visit The Teacher's Life at theteacherslifeblog.blogspot.com. There will be a link up there with that. You can also visit the podcast at theteacherslife.podomatic.com or come and join the Ning, theteacherslifenation.ning.com. Donald and his associates' book, Words Their Way, I really do recommend. And what's cool is that they also have separate resource books for each spelling stage that he spoke about, and also a very thorough book with using Words Their Way with English language learners. That's it for this interview. You guys have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you later. Thanks. Bye.